New Vrindavan, Lord Appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, 2017.
Second time after returning from the Ashunakula in Hiranyakashipu, wanting to hear Prahlad's appreciation of what he was being taught there. And his teacher, Shantanamarga, thought that he was listening and learning very well because he was humble, respectful, open to their teachings, and he appeared to be very attentive. And their teachings were on matters of politics, economics, diplomacy, with a focus on evaluating who is friend and who is enemy, and reciprocating accordingly, which Prahlad found to be distasteful and unacceptable. But his teachers thought he was learning very well. And his father is very eager to hear his appreciation of his lessons. So, little background. First time Prahlad came back from the Ashunakula, and his father asked, what's the best thing you've learned in school? He said, oh, essentially, be respectful. O king of the demons and best of asuras. As far as I've learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary material body and temporary household life must be embarrassed by anxieties due to having fallen into a dark well where there's no water, but only suffering. Now listen attentively to Prahlad's teachings. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and there take shelter. So Hiranyakashipu, thinking that Vaishnavas were going to school in disguise and polluting his intelligence with such topics, he advised Shantanamarga to be very attentive, that he's not influenced by Vaishnavas. And they were. They were in Hiranyakashipu's palace, in the school they're in. There is no Vaishnavas going there. But Prahlad was simply repeating what he had learned in the womb when his mother was in the shelter of Narada Muni, waiting for her husband to return from his austerities. So the his teachers were very convinced that he was not hearing from Vaishnavas, that he was imbibing their lessons, and with confidence they brought him back before his father again. And Hiranyakashipu asked a second time, what is the best thing you've learned in school? And Prahlad Maharaj, one of the Mahajans whose footsteps we follow, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu,
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu,
Smaranam Padasevanam,
Smaranam Padasevanam,
Archanam Vadanam Dasa.
Shivam Vishnu.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Archanam Vatanam Dasya.
Archanam Vatanam Dasya.
Sakyam Vatanivedanam.
Sakyam Vatanivedanam.
Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Parasevanam.
Smaranam Parasevanam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Parasevanam.
Smaranam Parasevanam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Archanam Vandanam Dasyam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Sakyam Atmanivedanam.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Smaranam Padasevanam.
Considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto him, meaning serving him with body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is an extremely long purport in which Srila Prabhupada, one by one, delineates the nine processes of devotional service. And in the second process, Kirtanam, he lists the offenses to the holy name, after which he makes a very worthy comment. This is in regard to the offenses to the holy name. There is no way to atone for any of these offenses. It is therefore recommended that an offender at the feet of the holy name continue to chant the holy name. constant chanting of the holy name will make one free of offenses, and then he will gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform on which he can chant the pure holy name and learn to love Krishna. That's my Sri Gurudeva Namaha. We're celebrating this most auspicious and significant appearance of Lord Srinivasa today. Which can be appreciated from so many different perspectives. One very significant beginning point to the whole lila, and it's actually a very short lila, because Lord Shingadev appeared at noon, and he fought with Hiranyakashipu until sunset, after which he reciprocated Prahlad's prayers, coronated him king of the demons, and then he left. Very short lila. And it began, in a sense, with an offense. Vaishnava Parat, apparently. Jai and Vijay checked the four Kumaras in their approach to the Lord, for which they were cursed to take birth in the material world as demons. How could the confidential gatekeepers to Vaikuntha commit offense to devotees in that realm composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss? We should never mistake the activities of the great souls to be on par with ours. And our worship and appreciation of Lord Nrisimhadev is not to cultivate Aishwarya Bhakti and go to his planet or any planet in Vaikuntha. But as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship and appreciate Lord Nrisimhadev for the specific qualities of Krishna which he embodies, and how he helps devotees in developing their love for Krishna. We all know that Krishna loves to wrestle, and he enjoys different forms of the sport to satisfy different tastes or rasas. His prime companion in the art of wrestling is Sri Dhamma, with whom he enjoys the sweet flavor of sake ras. And Krishna craves other tastes above and beyond, and yet containing sake ras. And sometimes, therefore, he wrestles with Sri Dhamma's sister. And sometimes he wins, and sometimes he loses. Yeah. And he derives great pleasure in being defeated by his devotees. And then, when he was invited, you know, it was after Kamsa realized that all the demons and rakshasas, with all their mystic potencies, that he sent to Vrindavan to kill Krishna all came back dead. So he realized that he would have to somehow bring Krishna to Mathura, where he would have the support of all his demons and armies, and they could all gang up on Krishna and surely defeat him. Now, to entice Krishna to accept an invitation to Kamsa's wrestling match in Mathura necessitated that the invitation be extended by a devotee. So Akura was chosen for that role. And when Akura told Krishna and Balaram, "We're going to Mathura for wrestling," Krishna was very happy. But the Gopas told him that Krishna and Chandra and Mustika are not like cowherds. They're ferocious, monstrous, rakshasa, demon wrestlers. And Krishna said, "Big fat wrestlers?" Which is all the more enticing to him. This is Lila. So Jayant Vijay, very faithful servants of the Lord of Vaikuntha, but as pure devotees who always want to please and serve Krishna according to his pleasure in better ways, had to initiate pastime outside of Vaikuntha, because in Vaikuntha, where Aishwarya Bhakti prevails, no one can wrestle with Krishna. So this arrangement was made that Jaya and Vijaya become these six archetypal demons, and Krishna would come and deliver them. The unspoken essence of truth in the Bhagavatam, revealed later in Chaitanya Lila, is that Jaya Vijaya came back again as Jagai and Mara to receive Prema Bhakti, Braja Prema, from the hands of Lord Nityananda himself. So in all these ordeals and trials and tribulations, which really excel in the life of Prahlad Maharaj, everything ends in bliss. All the avatars have their own Vaikuntha planet where they live and enjoy with their devotees. They also all have a place in Vrindavan, as they do in Navadvipa, because all of Vaikunthas are contained within one corner of Vrindavan. And at the time of the apocalypse, all the devotees of all the avatars, and all holy places as well, in the universe, when it's destroyed, they all return to their source, Vrindavan. And the avatars, they crave the sweetness of Braja Bhakti. And Krishna facilitates that by giving them different temples for their deity forms where they can be seen, or their various past time places where they cannot be seen, but are living invisibly. And Krishna loves playing the role of these different avatars, which usually happens in Apsaravan, named after the gopis, who are the source of all the beauty in the Apsaras. It's a secluded place on the Govardhan Parikrama in the region of Punsari, where Krishna could, because Mother Yashoda would be too upset if she saw Krishna and Balaram in the role of Ravana Lakshman fighting Ravana's mighty army, which they did. But how would they find demons to fight in Braj? When Krishna became Ram and Balaram Lakshman, and the gopas all turned into monkeys, and they were looking for the enemy, the trees became rakshasas, and a fierce battle ensued until they heard Mother Yashoda calling Krishna and Balaram, it's time for lunch. And it disrupted the whole lila. So they go deep into the forest of Asaravan to perform pastimes that required some seclusion. And there they would, amongst other things, do what gopas do, they would wrestle. They would form two groups. Balaram would lead the elder gopas and Krishna the younger. And each group would brag about his prowess and their group leader, and they would belittle the other side. And Krishna cannot tolerate being ridiculed. So he insisted that he was mightier than anyone in the universe, to which the gopas in Balaram's team started laughing, making Krishna even more intolerant. His face turned red with embarrassment and anger, and he said, "I'll show you." And he began to grow. And as he grew, he turned into this very beautiful boar who rose above the treetops and high into the sky, wielding his fearsome tusks and hooves, and bellowed in a fierce voice which was strangely similar to Krishna's voice. "Do you dare to question my might and power? Behold my supremacy." And all the little gopas were terrified by this boar as high as the sky in an angry mood. But they weren't really terrified by the spectacle before them. They were terrified because they couldn't find Krishna. And they were running everywhere, "Krishna, Krishna, save us." And then Balaram told them, "Just chant the Purusha Shukta prayers." And the gopas fell onto the ground, offering obeisances to this huge form before them, chanting Purusha Shukta. And Krishna, or Varaha, concluded, "I have made my point." And then he returned to his gopa form, but he was amazed to find that his gopa friends were still convinced that they could defeat him and wrestle. This is yoga maya, and this is the potency which deluded the gatekeepers, Jayavijaya, into checking the four kumaras, which resulted in Krishna, or Lord Narayan, who can't wrestle with anybody in Vaikuntha, enjoying the lila of wrestling with a worthy combatant in the form of Hiranyakashipu. So, since Krishna and Balaram had to confront such monsters being sent by Kamsa every day, Gargamuni advised Nanda Maharaj, "You should install a deity of Lord Nrisimha to protect Krishna and Balaram and your family and all your subjects from harm." Which he did. He installed Lord Nrisimhadev, still being worshipped today, along with Varaha. Because Lord Nrisimhadev is Krishna's, is the embodiment of Krishna's protective instinct. which we all admire in this world. You see how mothers, when their children are endangered, they become so powerful to defend their loved ones. Lord Nrisimhadev is that protective instinct of Krishna personified, who safeguards the society of devotees from hostile elements he protects devotees' hearts from offenses and material desires which choke the bhakti lata within. And for advanced devotees, he offers another kind of protection. He saves them from the unbearable anguish of separation from Krishna with the assurance that he will help them overcome obstacles, material desires, attachments, and offenses whereby they can meet with Krishna very soon. And that is demonstrated as Prahlad at the feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, who picks him up and affectionately strokes him and assures him, you need not fear any more torment from your demoniac father. And for sadhakas, Lord Nrisimhadev's glance, his words, his leelas, the touch of his lotus feet, puts our fears to rest. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his state of samadhi, in which he is following the Parikrama path through Navadvip Dham, when he comes to Nrisimha Kshetra, and Lord Nrisimha speaks to him in a similar way he did to Prahlad, but with some additional insight worthy of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Nrisimhadev and Nrisimha Kshetra, also known as Devapali, speaks, dear child, stay in this forest and worship Radha and Krishna with purified heart and develop affection and relationship for their holy names, and soon you will meet them. And then placing his feet on the head of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, infusing him with ecstatic emotion, he rolls in the dust of the holy dham, overcome with astika sattva bhavas. This is a reflection on what he had previously written, as was spoken by Lord Nityananda, when, according to Mahaprabhu's instruction, he took Jiva Goswami on Parikrama of Navadvipa before Jiva went to Vrindavan. And one of the first major tirtha they visited was Satyamati's house. And Jiva was, and Satyamati received Lord Nityananda as she would her child, and so happy to meet Jiva Goswami. Couldn't believe, and she served him prasad. And when they left, Srivastakur and Vamsivadam, Mother Sachi's very dedicated servant, who is the incarnation of Krishna's flute, who attracts devotees to Krishna, they joined the party. And when they approached Devapali, where Lord Nrisimhadev came After bestowing his grace upon Prahlad, he came to Navadvipa. And he took up residence there. And his deity form is still there. And Vishvakarma built jeweled cottages for all the devas. That's why it's not named Devabali. To reside in proximity with Lord Drishyangadev. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura is describing how Lord Nityananda introduced the devotees to Devabali, interspersed with his own prayers to Lord Drishyangadev. As in my heart reside duplicity and sincerity, and the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, which is a subtle form of illicit sex, along with these six archetypal enemies, the only real enemies, our own lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. He prays to Lord Drishyangadev, please awaken the desire to serve and please Radha and Krishna. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying here in the Bhagavatam, as far as the best and essence of all knowledge. Those devotees stayed in Devabali as the guests of Lord Drishyangadev, who has a very prominent role in both Navadvipdham and Vrindavan. On the hill, towering over Apsaradhan, Lord Drishyangadev resides eternally in Brajadhan, serving the area, assisting his devotees in overcoming obstacles, material desires, and offenses to develop their love for Krishna. And in Brajadhan, Krishna remembered Prahlad Maharaj and yearly celebrated his victory. The victory of his faith, which offered him protection. Shukadev Goswami narrates the various ways Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. One way was by incinerating him in a huge pyre. But fearful that he would somehow escape, Hiranyakashipu had his sister, Holika, who had a benediction from Brahma that she would never be burned by fire. It was one of Hiranyakashipu's benedictions, but he was becoming a little not so confident of Brahma's benedictions. So he asked his sister, Holika, who could not be burned by fire according to Brahma's benediction, hold Prahlad on your lap and don't let him get away as you sit in the midst of this huge pyre which will burn Prahlad to ashes. And as they ignited the pyre, along with Hiranyakashipu's hopes that his enemy would soon be incinerated, the benediction of Brahma to Holika that she could never be burned by fire was cancelled. It was nullified due to her offense to a devotee. She was burned to ashes, and from that raging inferno, Prahlad walked out unconcerned, unscathed, much to the displeasure of his father, who was amazed. All my endeavors to kill this boy fail. He saves himself by some power. Well, he was right in the first half of his analysis that all his attempts to kill him fail. He was wrong to think that it was Prahlad's own power. It was the power of his faith, his utter dependence, and the protection of the Lord in response to his surrender. So Prahlad's victory is reenacted yearly on the banks of Prahlad's Kund in Braj, where an effigy of Holika is burned to ashes. And the next day, the victory is celebrated by the festival of colors named Holi, after Holika. The path of bhakti means following the footsteps of the Mahajans, of whom Prahlad is very prominent. And as Lord Nrsimhadev tells Prahlad, you are the best example of a devotee whom others should follow. In the footsteps, meaning examples, their example, their instructions, and their prayers. The prayers of Prahlad are very instructive. And they're very interesting because they're kind of apparently contradictory. First of all, Prahlad prays, I'm not at all afraid of material existence because I'm always absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. Because Lord Nrsimhadev is offering a benediction. What do you want? First he says, I'm not afraid because our benedictions, the benedictions we pray for are usually related to our fears. So I'm not afraid, so I don't need a benediction regarding fear. My concern, to whom this prayer is offered, is for the fools and rascals who consider this temporary material life to be all in all and are making elaborate plans to be happy in this temporary world. So my concern is for them. There are plenty of transcendentalists who are concerned with their own salvation. I am concerned with everyone who is suffering in this world. And it was hearing that request, that prayer, that Lord Nrsimhadev, he was so ferocious, even after killing Hiranyakashipu, he kept growling. And the demigods were fearful. Brahma, he couldn't go before the Lord. Shiva was afraid. They asked Lakshmi, he said, I'm not going near him. This little child walked before Lord Nrsimhadev and said, I'm not afraid of your blood-soaked mane or your blood-stained nails because I know who you are. Prahlad saw him as Krishna wearing a very special mask So when Prahlad offered this prayer, this was the turning point. I'm not afraid of material existence. I'm only concerned with those who are absorbed in making elaborate arrangements to be happy in this temporary material world. That was the turning point in Nrsimhadeva's anger. And he stopped growling and he became very peaceful, like a father to Prahlad. And he said, I'm very pleased with you. Now ask one benediction. And Prahlad said, my lord, please don't tempt me like this. Being born in a family of demons, I will naturally be desiring so many things, but I don't want to be a merchant with you. And then he contradicted what he had already said. The first thing he said was to the Lord Nrsimhadeva was, I'm not afraid of material existence. My only concern is for the fools and rascals who like material existence, or think they do. But now he says, please don't tempt me with these illusions, because I am very much afraid of materialistic life. And that was the contrast which set the scene for him offering the essence of his prayers, which perfectly addresses the personality of Lord Nrsimhadeva and how he longs to serve his devotees. Prahlad prayer. All I have to ask of you is that no material desires enter into the core of my heart. And then he had one more thing to ask of Lord Nrsimhadeva. He said, my father was very envious of you, and he died in that mood. I pray that you forgive him for his offenses. This is a very important topic, forgiveness. And it's very amazing how people are so convinced that they have every reason to withhold forgiveness and hold on to their vengeance without realizing that holding on to your vengeance makes you become that which you despise. And the only freedom, which is our greatest need, is Krishna's forgiveness, which we beseech through his devotees. But it's not just asking forgiveness. It's not complete if you don't demonstrate the repentance, meaning the change of heart, and a plan to actually rectify your attitude, which makes the process complete. So when Prahlad prayed to Lord Nrsimhadeva to forgive his father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadeva replied that your father has attained liberation by my touch. Nevertheless, as his son, it is your duty to perform the Shraddha ceremony to elevate him further so that he will eventually take to devotional service. At this point, Brahma was very happy because he was in a lot of trouble because of the benedictions which he offered to Hiranyakashipu. And even Lord Nrsimhadeva, just as departing this world, told Brahma, don't offer those kind of benedictions again. This is that extremely auspicious day when Lord Dushyant appeared. A time to immerse our thoughts in his reciprocation with Prahlad, and to take inspiration from the example in the teachings of Prahlad, and to appreciate Lord Nrisimhadeva's eternal residence in Vrindavan to help his devotees overcome the real enemies, which are within our own hearts, insincerity. Desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, selfishness, along with their root causes, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. And Prahlad also resides in Jambudvip, where Lord Nrisimhadeva resides. And Prahlad leads all the subjects of his kingdom in prayer, a very appropriate prayer for all of us. O my Lord, who has nails and teeth like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish these demon-like desires for material gain, which are residing in our hearts. Make the world peaceful, and pacify those who are envious by granting them devotional service, because only then will they think of each other's welfare. For this purpose, let us all engage in the service and prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, and always remain absorbed in loving thoughts. Shishi Prahlad Nrisimha Bhagavan Ki Jai. Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Seventh canto begins with Maharaj Pariksit revealing his doubt to Shukadeva Goswami. You have been impressing me, trying to impress me with how the Lord is impartial. But hearing how he sides with the demigods to overcome the demons, I'm feeling doubtful about whether he's actually impartial. And then Shukadeva Goswami explains that the Lord simply reciprocates our intent. If demons perform pious activities, they receive auspicious results. If devotees perform demoniac activities, they're rewarded accordingly. It's not his partiality, it's our approach. But whatever the Lord does, which we, in our narrow-minded, tunnel vision based on the three modes with which we're so deeply conditioned to see it as partiality. It's not partiality. The Lord consistently reciprocates with everyone in a way that is best for their spiritual progress. And we question, you know, why did this one perish? And often it's the good souls who perish and the demons who appear to flourish. His protection is not primarily extended to our body. He's protecting our hearts. And we don't know the infinite depth of wisdom and providence. You know, we speak of providence as some unseen force that guides and directs things beyond our understanding. You can appreciate it in a very simple way. Providence means He provides at every step what we need and what is best for us at that stage. And for some, you see, practically speaking, look at devotees who are all so unique and different. And for some, the best thing is they give up this body earlier and just get a new start. It's not our prerogative to question the loving nature of the Lord's protection. He offers what is best to each and every individual devotee. Sometimes that means dying. It's the best thing. Get a fresh new start. As did Ramakashipu. It was actually the Bodhi, acting as a demon to fulfill the Lord's desire to wrestle. Anything else?
To commit an offense to the Bodhi is a very serious thing, which the only way to overcome the offense is to bow at the feet of the Bodhi and beg forgiveness for such an offense. So Hiranyakashipu offended Prahlad Maharaj, but how did he said that being killed, did he ever have a chance to bow at the feet?
He did.
Huh?
He did.
He did?
Yes.
How did he do it?
As we said, the unspoken nectar of this lila is the fourth birth of Jaya Vijaya, Vajjagadamara. And of the two, you see, they performed every imaginable sinful activity. But they weren't disqualified from the mercy of the Lord because they never committed Vaishnava, right? Because they never met devotees. After meeting the devotees, one of the two, Madhai, committed Vaishnava Parat. It's actually Guru Parat. To Haridas. Well, to Lord Nityananda in Haridas. And it's a very illustrative sequence of lilas. Lord Chaitanya, who never took the kirtan out of the seclusion of Srivasa's courtyard. This was the night when Madhai attacked Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu heard, and he ran with the whole kirtan party accompanying him to the spot. Raised his hand, called Chakra, Chakra, and Sudarshan appeared ready to sever their heads. Haridas, Lord Nityananda appealed to Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu was not hearing his appeals. until he said, this Jagannath is saving me today, which he did, in a sense. And hearing that, Jagannath saved Vaidyanatha, Mahaprabhu's demeanor, his mood, his countenance, everything transformed from fierce like a lion to soft as a rose or lotus. And then he embraced Jagannath in appreciation. Jagannath became overwhelmed with astra, saptakabhavas, ecstasies that are also serviced by the Lord's touch. So Mada did the exact same thing. He fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and begged mercy. Lord Chaitanya backed off. For you, there is no such hope. What do you mean? The two of us have been together in everything we've ever done, every simple activity. You forgave him and you're condemning me? He said, but you've added something fresh. Aparad. Which is a different category from a simple activity. And he was relentless in withholding forgiveness to Mother. Until Lord Nityananda appealed, just give me these two souls in charity. This is all I ask. And when Madhai fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda, as his guru, imploring his mercy, then Lord Chaitanya, look, Nityananda, he surrendered to you. You can do with him as you like. And Lord Nityananda made his appeal. I want these two souls in charity. They're yours. Now it's very interesting. Being forgiven by both Nitya and Gaur, the brothers repented, meaning they regretted their past misdeeds from the heart. But there's a difference. Jagannath got over it. Mother didn't. He just sank deeper and deeper into self-condemnation. And the devotees in Lord Chaitanya, they're telling him, look, you've been forgiven. But he couldn't live with himself. Remember it. All the sins and offenses he committed. Until one day, he saw Lord Nityananda alone in a secluded place, and he begged forgiveness of his lotus feet again. He said, look, I've forgiven you, Lord Chaitanya's forgiven you, what more do you see? And he said, it goes deeper than that. And I'm seeing it in the dreams that haunt me every night. Countless souls, orphaned children, violated mothers, mutilated Brahmins, all reduced to such deplorable conditions because of my envy. The scriptures tell us that if you've offended someone, you have to approach that person and beg forgiveness. How can I approach them? How can I find them? How can I recognize? Because I've killed so many. What atonement? First of all, what depravity of hell is worthy of someone like me? On the other hand, what hope is there? And Lord Nityananda gave a special atonement, which is very appropriate. He said, it is the Ganges who washes away sins and offenses. Serve the Ganges by serving the pilgrims who go to the Ganges. And ask each and every one of them if I have ever offended you. Because Lord Chaitanya has forgiven me, I beg you to do the same. And he took that instruction to heart. And some people retaliated because they hated him. it was an opportunity not only for him to beg forgiveness from the pilgrims who Lord Nityananda saw as representatives of all those residents of Navadvipa to be offended, it was also an opportunity for the residents of Navadvipa who harbored that hatred for Jagannatha to offer their forgiveness and receive the Lord's forgiveness. So in... What was your question?
When you got the food, did he have a chance?
Oh, right, right. He had a chance. That's mana. He did have a chance. And he took that chance to his fullest glory, leaving a precious example. Because there are cases in Vaishnava history when someone performs Vaishnava Aparad, even Guru Aparad, or Dham Aparad, or whatever. And then the person who's offended leaves the planet. What do they do? They seek whoever is in the role of Guru or Sadhu for a worthy atonement. But the real thing is not the formula, the specific formula of the atonement. It's the change of heart. So there's a whole sequence and holistic formula in the art of forgiveness. It's not, I mean, it's essential. You fall at the feet, beg forgiveness. And if you look in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad actually didn't say, forgive my father. He said, excuse him. Because forgiveness is a more complete dynamic of which one part is being excused, which we can all offer and excuse someone for whatever. But actual forgiveness necessitates repentance, which has multiple categories. You regret from your heart your misdeed, and you make a practical plan to correct that behavior and attitude. And it's when. And then what to do if you just really can't forgive the person? First of all, why? Is it your sense of moral superiority? Or the payback that you just can't wait for? Or is it not any of those? You sincerely want to, but you just don't have the power, considering the magnitude of the offense. You appeal to the Holy Spirit within you, who is most forgiving, to do it on your behalf. And you share in the benefits. What the Lord is really seeking is a change of heart. Envious, vicious, demoniac tendencies. But they also just don't go of their own. They are displaced by a loving, kind disposition which awakens within as a consequence of devotional service and chanting all the names with you.
I just had a comment. Prahlad Maharaj was also present in Mahaprabhu's, you know, just adding to that point. He was Vasudeva Dutta, and just as Prahlad Maharaj wanted to have all souls be liberated with himself going, you know, taking others into reaction, so Vasudeva Dutta did the same. And so maybe Vasudeva Dutta was also one of the pilgrims who went to those stairs that Mahaprabhu constructed on the Ganges. So maybe he did have a personal opportunity.
Good point. Thank you very much.
And thank you for that, of course.
I'm wondering if Jai and Vijay were in Vaikuntha, but then they had direct contact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and were embraced, and they did devotional
both. They resumed their services in Vaikuntha, but once having rendered such a crucial service and fulfilled such a critical pastime in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's Leela, they remain in Chaitanya Leela as his eternal servants, which he assured them, you are now my eternal servants.
Mm-hmm.
I have to acknowledge the purpose of that, that for one who, the atonement for the offenses against the holy names constantly changed. So what's the hope for one who cannot constantly follow change? What's the hope?
You know, there is one quality which is essential both for constant chanting and forgiveness, and it is what virtue? The crest jewel of all virtues? Cultivate humility. Which cultivate means practice. Whatever little bit you have, invest it, put it to good use, and Krishna will reciprocate by giving more. As humility becomes more and more the predominant quality of your heart, then with spiritual senses you'll be more and more inclined to chant Hare Krishna constantly. It also means taking shelter. For one who has committed an offense to the holy name, there is no recourse to but take shelter of the holy name. Doesn't mean you have to stay up all night chanting. It means you dedicate your life to the service of the holy name, which includes distributing the holy name to others or assisting. Sankirtan is a very holistic, dynamic. It means congregational chanting. But if you look at the Sanskrit roots, samyak, which means complete, kirtan, chanting, it means everything in the culture, everything related to the culture of chanting and distributing the holy name. As you dedicate yourself to any role in that service, you are taking shelter of the holy name. And it's not like, okay, this is the path. Everyone is unique with special gifts and challenges and callings. There's a general map to follow. But as your own individuality becomes manifest more and more, the specific calling for your soul will be revealed within. And that will be your process of taking shelter to the holy name.
Sometimes, you know, I'm just speaking for myself. Sometimes if you have committed an offense to a Krishna, then you lose that.
And what?
You lose the desire.
Can I speak into the microphone?
You know, if you have committed an offense to a Krishna, whatever, maybe small, but you lose the desire and the holy name does not come into the town.
But you lose the desire because you lose the taste.
So then
you lose the relationship is distanced.
So then how to continue to take shelter?
Well, first of all, to actually qualify as an offense, there has to be some malice. And we all make mistakes, and they're easily forgiven. Breach of etiquette, touch the person's feet and say you're sorry, and it's over. An actual offense entails some malice, some envy, and it's much more grievous. There again, you beg forgiveness, but don't leave it at that. Make a specific, practical plan to rectify your heart. And when Krishna sees the sincerity in that, as do the Vaishnavas, they will extend forgiveness, bestow their blessings. The distance, aparad means distance in from Radha, from worship. That it's that distance where the taste diminishes and the desire weakens. But coming back, restored into that relationship with rectified mentality, the taste returns. And it may return after a lot of grief and suffering. And it's usually an outburst of emotion that makes it clear that it is returning. It's change of heart. Doesn't always come all at once. But what Krishna wants to see is a practical plan and practice to protect ourselves from the conditioning that led to such things in the past. And fortify the dependence of relationships that please Krishna. Shri Shri Pallada Shinga Bhagavan Ki Jai. Shri
Shri Pashan Maharaj Ki
Nice. Want to meet you.
Well, we worship in time and place.
Huh?
One hour from now,
that would be good.
10:30.
Thank you for that wonderful point.
You missed it. It was my question. Sometimes that may entail you to speak, not in a spirit of protest, but in a spirit of disapproval, but not in a challenge, because challenge is usually disapproval.
I've seen you before, maybe you're probably, yeah.
get a sense of forgiveness without ever experiencing it. But when you express it to another living person, you realize. And it becomes a matter of relationship. It brings them out and it makes it important. So, set one of those varieties to choose from. And it's also a letting the Lord and our guide you appropriately.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid, like, my faults are going to get involved. You know, especially if, like, you know, the person who's committing the offense is also, you know, something in the family that, you know,
yeah,
that I'm not taking aside.
And, when you know, you're really thinking about that person, so
hoping I can possibly get the recording because, you know, this can't be painted off.
Yeah, we were going to arrive at the other end.
Oh, shoot, he was darker. start.
Well, we do that. We have that.
Yes, Krishna. I was saying Krishna did it.
Yeah. And then I think the RZ one was but anyway, this one, it was just a few years ago when there was this plan that was going to be released, and that time the combination of a little bit of the Amish, so this started from my school for to teach that kind of the Amish lesson. So this is back and forth for these years. That one just takes a study. And that, the uprighteous ones, they lost the case.
Did he win?
Rhetorical.
Are you kidding? We're all
yeah, we left the Navy. So here they choose the horse's turn. And at the end of the life cycle, at the end of the horse space goes to dog meat.
That's why it was out. They were almost 25 years ago.
And with the speaking, you know,
I mean, they do have a certain thing. No, they perfected the art of playing the
game.
Period.
Playing the game. Yeah.
We're so bad. Like,
so translate into Chinese. It was on the
And